A reading from the Gospel of Mark. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold fast to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, debauchery, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Any good psychiatrist, psychologist, or pastoral counselor knows that often with people, the presenting issue is not the real issue. Someone isn't getting along well at work. It turns out the soured relationships are only something symptomatic of a matter unresolved within themselves. Of course, this isn't always the case. Bad coworkers do exist. But I could give countless examples also. So the issue isn't the issue often enough that it's something for us to be aware of and also wise to. The same can be said about some of the stories within the scriptures as well. Today's is a case in point. Jesus was eating dinner with his disciples. Some of those disciples didn't wash their hands as was ritually required. Jesus didn't admonish them as was expected. That, most of us have been told for many years, was the main issue between Jesus and Judaism. The Jews took exception to Jesus' disciples not washing their hands and him healing on the Sabbath. Thus, the rift between Judaism and Jesus was born. But I want to suggest this morning that these were not the real issues that separated Jesus from Judaism. Rather, I want to suggest that a tension already existed between Jesus' mission and ministry and many within the Jewish religious political establishment, and that the Jewish leaders simply used the occasion of seeing Jesus' disciples not wash their hands or Jesus heal on the Sabbath as pretext for suspicion and accusation and ultimately separation. The grounds for my thesis is found in verse 1 of today's gospel text. Some Pharisees and some of the scribes had come from Jerusalem and gathered around him. Don't think for a moment that they had come simply to hear a good sermon. They came because the religious, political establishment already had it out for Jesus. His popularity was a threat to their power. Most of them could probably care less about washing hands or keeping Sabbath. In fact, the scripture says they began to plot to kill Jesus on the Sabbath. So I don't believe, not even for a second, that it was their true religious convictions that Jesus offended. They were just looking for a reason. And as the old saying goes, when you're looking for a reason, well, any reason will do. I think of my home church, Second B in Lubbock, when they were kicked out of their local Baptist association in the 1960s. The official reason for their departure was their acceptance of something called alien immersion, which sounds like something they would do in Roswell. Alien immersions were actually baptisms from other traditions outside of Southern Baptist churches like Faith and Practice. Second B was allowing people to join from other denominations like the Church of Christ and the Disciples of Christ without having those people be rebaptized as Baptists. They decided that it was simply enough to be baptized as a Christian. For as the scripture says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But according to the association, this was the acceptance of alien immersion, which could and would not be tolerated. Except this was not the only issue, nor even the real issue. The real issue was that Second B had also opened its membership up not only to Church of Christ and Disciples of Christ folks, but also to black folks. And that was the real reason they got kicked out of the association. The issue wasn't the issue. Another example. Early last week, some of us gathered to say goodbye to Martha Taylor, beloved Broadway member who was 106 and still very much a live wire until the day that she died. Once I visited Martha at her place in Trinity Terrace, there was a knock at the door. Martha yelled from the room out into the hallway, "Come back, I have a man in here." She was 101, but somehow I still felt incriminated. Martha and I were fast friends, and part of our friendship, a significant part, was founded on our mutual admiration for Martha's uncle, the Reverend Homer Price Rainey, who was a Baptist minister, president of the University of Texas in the 1940s, and whose mother was a Price from my own side of the family. Mr. Rainey was fired by the UT Regents because he stood up for academic freedom and refused to dismiss two professors for teaching so-called salacious and subversive literature in the UT classroom. Only the Regents weren't really after the professors. They were after President Rainey. Homer Price Rainey was a New Deal Democrat, and the people who had risen to power and appointed the Regents were not. He wanted to integrate the University of Texas, and they did not. He was said to be a friend, quote unquote, of the Negro and sympathetic to homosexuals in Texas in the 1940s. And they, well, were definitely not. So sent to do their bidding, these Regents found people to find a reason. And they fired President Rainey. And in outrage, the student body marched down Congress Avenue from the campus to the Capitol and sang in protest, "The eyes of Texas are upon you." Progressive values, liberal ideas, a friend to the Negroes and sympathetic to homosexuals. Those were the real reasons Martha's uncle, my cousin, and one of my great heroes of faith got fired. And it was just like when the scribes and the Pharisees were sent from the Capitol in Jerusalem to go and have a look at Jesus. The issues weren't the real issues, but when you're looking for a reason, any reason will do. What happened with those professors at UT makes me think of what is happening to the librarians in our schools today. Suddenly, libraries are contentious places, and librarians are said to be controversial people. They're corrupting the minds of our youth, some say, and we have to pass laws and policies to protect these children from these harmful people with their harmful ideas. Meanwhile, we still can't pass sensible gun legislation to keep our children out of actual harm. The same can be said of the push to put corporate-led prayers in the schools and the Ten Commandments in the classrooms, even while public education is still underfunded in our legislatures. The issue really isn't the issue. It's only a reason to get everybody riled up and suspicious of public education and amenable to vouchers and takeovers. And Jesus said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." By the way, some wise person once said, "There will always be prayer in school so long as there are tests in math." Even Protestants pray Hail Mary so around the midterms. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That is what Jesus said about the Pharisees and the scribes who had come down from Jerusalem looking for a reason. Right here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And at the end, in the last week of his life, when he himself had gone to Jerusalem, marching also, he said this: "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. The folks in our capitals weigh our teachers down with heavy burdens, but don't do anything to help them to carry the load. And then they have the audacity to post the Ten Commandments on the classroom walls. The very words given to a people coming out from the yoke of Pharaoh. May those who have eyes to see, let them see, especially on the Sunday before Labor Day." Listen, beloved, there's a whole lot of press conferences and pep rallies and God promoters out there. But the book of James was right. True religion to God is this: to care for orphans and widows and to keep oneself from being corrupted by the world. We know what is required of us to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God, to be doers of the word and not just hearers, and most certainly not just talkers. This is the real heart of the matter: to love God and to love neighbor. And all the rest of that stuff: do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, wash your hands the right way, baptize in the right way, hang the Ten Commandments just in the right place. These are not the heart of true religion. And they are not the real issues of relationship that God has concern about in this world. So we ask God to purify our hearts and cure our hypocrisies and grant us the courage to keep standing strong when others use reasons of so-called religion as pretexts for unkindness, cruelty, and frankly, corruption. I end my sermon this morning where we begin our worship with the words of the psalmist, who said this: "O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart. Who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor heap shame upon their neighbors. Cleanse our hearts, O God, and may our religion be always pure and undefiled before you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, Amen.